This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. Enjoy more of the things you love with TCL. Get in the know, nonstop Vikings talk. It's Purple Daily on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
Ah, refreshing, oh, yeah. Yes. Headed into the weekend.
That's right.
Headed into the weekend like with Corona Hard Seltzer.
Just cracking some seltzers. Yeah, I'm excited to see where this goes. You know, I saw some pro football focus grades. It had the Vikings once again towards the bottom of the league, which is unfortunate. It's unfortunate because I do think the Vikings need to show up that line. It's a trend, an unfortunate trend that's been happening. However, if Rick Spielman starts to do some offensive line study, I maybe suggest a couple Corona Hard Seltzers as he starts to go down the film.
I don't want to be callous, but if you replace the current left guard with just a can of Corona Hard Seltzer, you might actually be better off. Just going
to
throw that out.
You know, I'm in my three-point stance every Friday night, trying to get down, looking at all my four Corona Hard Seltzers, because it's the only hard seltzer made with pure Beach Vibes, with a refreshing splash of fruit flavors such as tropical lime, mango cherry, and blackberry lime. Corona Hard Seltzer is a tasty spiked sparkling water with a splash of natural fruit flavor that allows you to enjoy the moment. In each can, Corona Hard Seltzer has zero carbs, zero sugar, 90 calories, and is gluten-free. Relax responsibly. Corona Hard Seltzer spiked sparkling water with natural flavors. Imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Football.
Football!
Football, yeah! Yeah! Football! Football!
Get some!
All right, welcome in to another episode of Purple Daily. Phil Mackey, Judd Zolgad, Declan Goff producing, and when we want to take our discussions to the next level, we bring in our friend Eric Eager from Pro Football Focus for a more analytical view at the Minnesota Vikings. Eric, what's going on, man? Thanks for joining. This is going to be another. We had a great, fun weekend of playoff football last weekend. I love Super Wild Card Weekend, and this one might be even better because you've got like Hall of Fame quarterbacks all up and down.
Right. I mean, we missed, you know, with the Seahawks losing, we missed an NFC bracket that had four Hall of Fame QBs. So we have to settle for Jared Goff. But yeah, this is great. I did this research for that Steve Kornacki for his Today Show thing, and he was like, the Tom Brady has twice as many passing yards over the age of 40 in the playoffs than any other quarterback. Like, but they're combined, everybody who's ever played. And then he and Breeze, I think it's something like 70% of those yards. So that's going to be a really fun game. And then obviously on the AFC side, you have the three quarterbacks from the 2018 draft, as well as Patrick Mahomes from the 2017 draft. So it's kind of like the old guard and the new guard. I think it's going to be a great weekend of football.
Yeah. So real quick to start off here. So we've had a bunch of how to fix the Vikings discussions every Tuesday and Thursday on the show. We dive into a certain topic. Like yesterday, we did a deep dive, just a roster audit. So the parameters are no major structural changes. Spielman comes back. Zimmer comes back. Kirk Cousins comes back. And you have to get from 7-9 to as good as you possibly can be, whatever that looks like, in 2021. What is the number one? And let's assume enough cap space to at least sign one decent free agent, maybe one of the top guards on the market. So you get rid of Rudolph, you got some cap space. What is the absolute number one thing that should be at the top of your proverbial whiteboard if you are the Vikings going into this offseason?
That's a great question. I mean, I think establishing an offensive identity that's different than the one they currently have. Because my answer, so The hard answer to your question is that there isn't, without sweeping changes to the personnel, there's not really one thing that'll fix the Vikings. But I can say one thing that could possibly have the most benefit would be to change from a run first team to a pass first team, and then signing a wide receiver of substantial renown. Like, and there's a number of them, obviously. You know, Godwin's a free agent. Allen Robinson's a free agent. You know, so after those guys get picked off, you know, there'll be some really good, you know, options for them to come in and complement Thielen, Jefferson, you know, Irv Smith. To me, like that's how they can really do this thing relatively quickly, which would be to, you know, basically say, look, you're stuck with Kirk for better or worse for a couple more years. Let's see if this guy can really be that quarterback that can move a pass-first team into the upper echelon of the NFL.
So this opens up, though, an entire discussion about the fact that the Vikings, especially on defense, Eric, have personnel issues that have to be addressed. But it becomes crystal clear to me that the more that this topic is discussed, the bigger issue with this franchise right now is not personnel, it's philosophical approach to the game of football. And you're asking for something to happen that I think all of us on Purple Daily agree should, but the problem is one guy. The head coach is not going to, I don't think there's anybody at this point that can tell the coach, your philosophy on how we play offense is just too flawed. It's wrong. And I would actually be in favor, and this would be a little bit dangerous, I would be in favor of going into 2021 and turning Kirk loose just to see. Because I think until you do that, you're always going to have these security blankets like Dalvin around him. But I don't see any way in God's green earth that there is a person that can walk into TCO Performance Center and talk to Zimmer and get what you're saying through to him.
Yeah, and there's ultimately, and I hate saying it, because defense was a big problem for Minnesota this year. And, you know, people can say, you know, that it's, you know, due to injuries. Their secondary, the way they God intended it, was healthy in week one. And, you know, Zimmer will say Kendricks, but Kendricks missed, what, the last four games of the year? He played basically the whole season until then. Obviously, you know, Hunter was a big miss, but they didn't have a complimentary pass. You know, they didn't have interior pass rushers anyway. Like, even if Michael Pierce would have played, he's a 400, 500 snap nose tackle. They did not have any. I mean, Shamar Stephen has never had more than 10 pressures in any season. Like, Aaron Donald's going to have 10 pressures Saturday against Aaron Rodgers. And, like, Shamar Stephen's never had that many in a season.
Wow.
In his career. And the Ngakoue thing obviously was, you know, I think pushing the panic button. You know, the linebacker position, like, they're fine at linebacker. And there was a number of ways in which the season played out as they intended it to, and it was just a poorly intended way of going about it. You know, you look at some of these teams that have really made ascensions. Look at Buffalo. 3 years ago, Buffalo was making the playoffs with a great defense and Tyrod Taylor, a quarterback, and they realized the limitations on that approach. I mean, they basically scored, what, 3 points against the Jaguars in their only playoff game this century prior to that point. And they said, okay, well, you know, the road is bumpy, but we're going to have to draft a quarterback. We're going to have to surround him with talent, and we're going to have to do it at the expense of our defense. And that's what they did. And no player on Buffalo in their front seven makes top 20 money at their position. It's all secondary. It's all inviting the run. It's all playing red zone and third down defense, and then looking over to the offensive side of the ball and saying, we pay you guys all the money. And those guys deliver. And the problem is, I always feel like the Vikings, like, they want to build a situation where Kirk fails the least. And, like, unfortunately, the ceiling with that kind of mentality is 10-6 and a first, you know, second round exit in the playoffs. If you really want to win a Super Bowl, like, you know, and you view Kirk as the starting quarterback, you basically have to get him weapons and say, look, sink or swim.
So if you this is an interesting path, because I think everyone here on this show and Eric, we've all been justifiably, I will say, hard on Cousins throughout the last 3 years, just because of some of the things he can't do and the things that he doesn't do compared to other top quarterbacks. Now, he also does a lot of things well. He's very accurate. He's always one of the top five or six in terms of accuracy percentage. He had some fourth quarter comebacks this year. If the Vikings decided, all right, listen, we don't have a ton of resources. We got a first round pick. We don't have a second round pick. We have a first round pick. We're going to clear some money in free agency. And damn it, we're going to devote those resources to adding weapons for Kirk, and we're gonna shift some of our run centric philosophy, and we're gonna let Kirk cook a little bit more going forward. How good could Kirk be, and how good could this offense be compared to? I get that it was a top yardage offense, but it wasn't a top scoring offense. If they did that, what would it look like in your mind?
Yeah, I think this would strike people as surprising, but I think that they could be really good. You know, they have what you want. Like there's two most important traits in all of football are being accurate throwing the ball and gaining separation in pass patterns. And the gaining separation in pass patterns it's how, look, you look at 2017, Case Keenum was not a brilliant quarterback, but the margin for error was so wide because Thielen and Diggs were wide open all the time. And you look at Buffalo, like Josh Allen's career completion percentage going into the season was 58. He was 67 this year. Why? Well, Diggs wins in 2.5 seconds or less. Cole Beasley wins in 2.5. And like the margin for error is humongous, right? And the other thing about margin of error, if you score 35 points a game, the margin for error for your defense is extremely big too. And so, that's the thing is like the question remains is if you add volume to Kirk's game, does he continue to have the efficiency? We see it in fantasy football. It's a statistical truth. The more volume you add to a player's plate, the less efficient they get. And that's everybody. So the question becomes, like, have we seen Kirk's efficiency the last 2 years blossom because they've contained what he's been asked to do? The answer is probably yes. And to the team's detriment in the sense that they're really confining the set of games that they can play to the point where they can't compete with some of the league's best teams. If you enlarge that set and say, okay, look, our chance for ruin is humongous. Like, that was the whole Jameis Winston thing. If you widen the set of possibilities, yes, your chance of flaming out and going 2-14, 3-13 are bigger, but your chances of going 12-4, 13-3 are also bigger. And at this point in time, with the current constructs of the Vikings, the only people that don't have the incentive to widen those possibilities are the very people making the decisions in Rick Spielman and Mike Zimmer. So unfortunately, that's where I think we're at an impasse with Minnesota.
So off that point, big picture, does hiring a defensive coach, or more importantly, Eric, in the Vikings case, retaining one in 2021, who's going to go defense first, I believe that I can get, does that make sense now? I think it did in 2014 when Mike got the job, but now as we sit here, does the Vikings philosophy of how they have their organization run make sense?
No, and Judd, you make a really good point. In 2013, the Vikings were just trying to get off the ground, and their defense was 32nd in the league in points allowed, and they were a mess. And Zimmer served that purpose much in the same way. I mean, this sounds silly because he ended up winning the Super Bowl with Indianapolis, but the same purpose that Tony Dungy served in Tampa Bay. You get the team off the ground. You get it into respectability. You get it out of, you know, you make the Bucs endemic to football. You make the Vikings endemic to success. And then eventually you find something else to help them rise above. Mackie, we've been talking about this for a long time with the Chiefs. Alex Smith served a very good purpose for Kansas City, which was to make them respectable, to show them how far the ceiling was away from them. But eventually he ran its course, and that doesn't mean – and this doesn't mean that Zimmer had a bad era in Minnesota. It doesn't mean that, he shouldn't, like, get some accolades for how he's managed the team from where they were in 2013 to where they are now. But the purpose has been served. And, you know, and I think the same thing, by the way, yesterday Robert Saleh was hired by the Jets. I think that was a fine – some people are like, well, wait a sec, you're not supposed to hire defensive guys. So it's like, well, the Jets are just trying to shoot for respectability here. And eventually they'll have to deal with some of the same considerations Minnesota's had to deal with. But now, like, Minnesota has been, 8-8 or better for a number of years in a row. Now they have to push for a Super Bowl championship. And I just think the way that they're doing it now, where they're start cycling out offensive coordinators every other year, and they're, making excuses about this, that, and the other thing, like, it's time to shoot for actual, championship caliber play out of this team, especially given they still have some really high-end talent.
back to Purple Daily in just a moment here. Let's talk about Federated, though. Federated Mutual Insurance Company, helping business owners for over 100 years in the state of Minnesota. And they recently launched MyShield, the online client destination for risk management resources. If you're a business owner out there, how helpful would it be for you to have employee training at your fingertips? Industry resources that can help your business reach another level of success. Think about the things that might be risky in terms of your business, right? Like, do your employees drive company vehicles? Do they use ladders or other things that could be hazardous? How would a fall impact the employee's livelihood? Well, these are all things that MyShield considers in creating resources that can help your business. So find out more at federatedinsurance.com. Click on MyShield or just download the MyShield app. Remember, at Federated Insurance, it's always our business to protect yours. Also, our friends at Corona, who've been keeping us hydrated and happy with Corona Hard Seltzer all throughout the fall and the football season, they've stepped their game up for you guys, the listeners of Purple Daily, with the Corona Ultimate Tailgate Experience. You only have a couple more days here to register for this, but the sweepstakes will award 6 winners with a Corona Game Day prize pack valued at over $3,500, including a 70-inch TV, wireless surround system, football furniture. That's right. Football. And more. Details, rules, and entry at gamedaywithcorona.com. Must be 21 or over. Live within a 40-mile radius of Minneapolis. No purchase necessary. Gamedaywithcorona.com. Enter by January 18th. Corona beers imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois. Relax responsibly. You know, I think a lot of people, and there's probably a lot of people on our YouTube page and comments that would echo the same sentiment of, well, wait a second, you guys are really shortchanging Danielle Hunter. Like, he didn't play at all this year. If you get Danielle Hunter back and you get Michael Pierce back and you nail your first round pick somewhere, a position of need, then this team's back in it, man. Like, this team is, you know, back to 10, 11 wins and competing. And I think that's, I want your thoughts on that, because they will get better by just, if Danielle Hunter comes back, like, they will be better. If they get a left guard that's not Dakota Dozier, they will be better. And I think the conversation is, will they be better to get to the playoffs and then win a game and then lose like always, or are they on a path to get better on a Super Bowl level? And I feel like we don't, like, it's been so long since we've seen that here. Like, oh, the 09 team was a Super Bowl team. The 98 team was a Super Bowl team. They just came up short. Like, I don't know if we can wrap our heads around how great you have to be a Super Bowl team, not just a team that gets beat in the NFC Championship game by 30 points. There's a big difference there.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I even disagree with you, Phil. I don't think the 2009 team was a Super Bowl team. I don't think the 1998 team, though every single Vikings NFC Championship team was you know, hitting an inside, like, they were all lucky, right? In some unsustainable way. In 1998, it was Randall Cunningham, who had been benched by Rich Kotite, who had been benched by Ray Rhodes, who had finding lightning in a bottle and playing 14 really good games and getting them. And then also, and again, this is what I say, you can't hold brilliance constant. Not like Randy Moss went from 17 touchdowns in 1998 to like 10 in 1999. Like, all the, like, that team screamed, in hindsight, regression, right? Like, that wasn't Cunningham wasn't the sustainable quarterback you could win with. And obviously in 09, it was the same thing. That defense, they brought back every defensive starter in 09 to the 2010 season, and they all got old, right? And eventually, by the time it got to 2011, they're the worst defense in football, basically. And, you know, obviously Favre was not a sustainable solution at the QB position. It was just a very lucky season that they were able to convince Favre to do that, that Sidney Rice turned into after two injury-riddled seasons. Funny, the year after, he was also injury-riddled. There was so many things that went right for that team that – and again, the 2017 season was the same thing. It was Case Keenum, lightning in a bottle, the same 11 starters on defense in week one as in the NFC Championship game. A lot of luck there, but really when you look at that team, like, it didn't have the sort of Super Bowl caliber characteristics to it. Take even San Francisco last season, number one defense in football, Jimmy Garoppolo playing out of his, you know, playing really well for him. Fast forward to this year, you know, injuries to Bosa, injuries to Sherman, injuries to, you know, all over that defense, Garoppolo regresses and then gets hurt, and they're a 7-9 team. Like, I would even argue that the 49ers from 2019 were not a Super Bowl team. And so, like, and I feel like the Vikings fan base looks at those seasons, and they should fondly, but look at them for what they are, which is their lucky seasons where you hit 10 of the 11 legs of your parlay. And that's okay. Those are fun, and you're allowed to have them. But for sustainable success in football, you have to look, and it sounds, you know, pie in the sky, but you have to look at Kansas City. You have to look at Buffalo. You have to look at Baltimore. You have to look at some of those teams who are consistently competing not only for division titles but for the Super Bowl and reach for that. Because otherwise, I mean, you're just making long-shot bets all the time, and you're going to be left disappointed.
But those moves that the teams like the Chiefs and Bills make require a lot of guts. And I think the Wilfs came in with good intentions of being a consistently good team. But I think the problem now, what, 15 years after they purchased the team, Eric, is they've gotten very comfortable with being good. And being great takes moves that might backfire. And being great takes, oh my God, we won 4 games, not 13 games. But if you don't take that shot, you're going to be where the Vikings are, which is really respectable. Like, they're well run, consistently pretty damn good, but you don't have the ability then to take that step where you become elite. You pop up occasionally, but that's the problem. And the Wilfs, I think they like Rick, they like Mike. They like ordinarily 9 to 10 to 12 wins at times. And they can't divorce themselves from that to say, but how do we get potentially great for, let's say, a 3-year period or something like that?
100%. I live in Cincinnati. The Bengals are the exact same way. I mean, they're a team, and, you know, and they know that, like, they view risk way differently than we do. Right. And you see it in fourth down decisions on Sundays every, like, we view things as, okay, Super Bowl or bust, or, you know, from even like the game perspective, win this game or don't win this game. Whereas the coach punting on 4th and 1 is saying, well, I need to go with the crowd so that I can sort of stay alive in this race. The Vikings are sort of saying, look, I need to go with the crowd. I don't want to stand out because, like, look, Chip Kelly was 10-6, 10-6, 6-9 fired. Why? Well, he went against the grain, right? And those guys often, if it doesn't work, are rewarded with being fired. And, you know, my biggest thing is, look, you know, we've all been alive for, you know, 3-4 decades, and the Vikings have been the same way the entire time. And, you know, at some point, like, most people should be bored with this idea of just trying to be respectable. And, you know, they're afraid of being Detroit. They're afraid of being Cleveland. But I got to tell you, Cleveland, think about how many mistakes they've made, and they're playing this weekend. Yeah. And the road back is not that bad from being terrible.
Yeah. Eric Eager, we appreciate your insights, and we appreciate you keeping it real here with us, and we'll get you on again sometime once the off season becomes a little bit more up in the front mirror for us. So thank you, man.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Enjoy the games this weekend.
Eric Eager from Pro Football Focus. That's a wrap on this episode of Purple Daily. We're going to keep fixing the Vikings every Tuesday and Thursday on the show. And Mock Draft Monday is coming up here soon, too. So plenty more. I wonder if Fox Sports put a 6.0 out for us. I guess we'll have to see. Who's the first to 10.0, version 10.0? That's the drama.
Oh, who's the
Draft Blaster.com?
Steel guy. Didn't he put out like
Lexington Steel. Steel? Oh, wait, that's a different Steel.
Didn't like Phil Steele put out like a 10.0 I think in he February did. Last year?
10.5. A little slight alteration. All right, that's a wrap on this episode of Purple Daily. Please hit the subscribe button on our YouTube channel. It'll help us grow the audience and keep the lights on here. And also, if you give us a 5-star rating and a positive review on Apple, that also helps. Thank you, guys.